Good evening, faithful listeners. Can anyone who really understands what's going on with South Canterbury Finance please raise their hands? Good. Now everyone with their hands up can either go sit on the naughty step and stop telling fibs, or explain the general and special theories of relativity in the form of a 60-second interpretive dance, because I don't understand that either. The only thing I'm absolutely sure of at the moment is that Finance Minister Bill English must be planning to run away and join a better class of circus. For all the time I spend snarking politicians, there are occasions when the poor sods are stuck with the political equivalent of having to choose between a good dose of Ebola, which liquefies your internal organs, and necrotizing fasciitis, which eats your skin. Both kill you, in the end, and are hideously unpleasant and slow ways to go. But when you've got them, you've got to deal with it. It's hard to think of a better example than the $1.7 billion tab for the collapse of South Canterbury Finance. At the time, I was dubious, to say the least, about finance companies being included in the government's Crown Retail Deposit Guarantee Scheme. And before anyone thinks I'm trying to score a cheap partisan point on Labour, it's a simple matter of fact that it was done with overwhelming support from all sides of the House. With the benefit of 2020 hindsight, we can all say it should never have happened, but it did. Could the retail deposit scheme have been better designed and with more stringent criteria and oversights in place? Almost certainly. But let's be honest and admit that nobody was inclined to slow things down, and there was a good argument that they shouldn't have. But here's the hook in the moral hazard argument. If it's not the government's place to protect those who gambled on risky and speculative investments in finance companies, shouldn't we apply the same red in tooth and claw market Darwinism to bank depositors? After all, there's also an argument to be made that the taxpayer shouldn't be handing out corporate welfare to banks that were little better than financial drug dealers, happy to get debt junkies on the hook when the going was good, but are now unwilling to share in the very nasty withdrawal symptoms. But can you separate the greedy and the squalid out from those whose only sin was naivete in the face of outright fraud and a regulatory environment successive governments were warned was a disaster doomed to happen? I can't. I very much doubt that Bill English can either, and neither would Michael Cullen have been able to if he was still Finance Minister. I just wish Alan Hubbard would show some gratitude for the $500 or so I've just forked out to get him out of a latrine he dug for himself. Until then, gentle listeners, remember that if something looks too good to be true, it nearly inevitably is.